little bit of last blast of Christmas season. It's amazing. You get to have all of this celebration and you get to have all these things that we look forward to. But then folks are ready to seemingly move on, and all of us do. We're getting ready for the new year. And I want to preach one last time about a Christmas theme, but really it's a day about the reaction, what the folks did with Jesus after Christmas. And so if you look at Luke chapter 2, we'll look at verse number 21 and read a few verses here. And then we'll get into the message about the reaction of what folks did. You find your place in Luke chapter 2. While you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about these frustrated parents. They were calling the helpline. It was after Christmas down in Florida. And they were getting together. They're trying to put together this treehouse that they had ordered for one of their kids. But when they got all the stuff out there trying to put together, it all went wrong because the company had sent the ingredients, or sent the materials rather, for a sailboat, not a treehouse. So I said, well, this isn't working very good at all. So they were on the line of customer service trying to get there. Their representative said, well, I think we found the problem. And so they looked through it all and got the information, said, well, we're very, very sorry that you're trying to build that treehouse and you got the materials for that sailboat. And very, very sorry. But we appreciate you being patient, and it's not near as bad as the frustrated person I just got off the phone with. They're trying to sell your treehouse down a lake outside of their house, so it could be worse. In Luke 2:21, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, whose name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb, and when the days of her purification, this is just getting all of the specifics taken care of as they follow the law, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's the first point. The second one, I want you to look at verse number 25, and we're going to look at our second actor, so to speak, on the stage. Verse number 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. One last person, down in verse number 36, we're looking at Anna. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. I want to preach for a little while about those three different actors or people in this scene. We've got Joseph and Mary, then Simeon, and then Anna. It's amazing. I want to preach about the reaction, what people do after Christmas, because this is some days later, 8 days later for the circumcision. They're following all of the specifics of what God told all of the Jewish people that they were supposed to do. And I thought about this as we get to the Christmas time and then we get past the Christmas time. It's amazing how quickly our ideas change. We're sitting on our couch, and as I'm sitting there, the girls are back somewhere in the house, and Amy and I are sitting there, and we're just talking about how wonderful it was, how all the things went good. We had a good time together and rejoicing, reliving all that had happened. And then all of a sudden, Amy said, I wish all these decorations were down. So she turns on a dime on me just like that. After Christmas is a strange feeling because you love it. But then you also know people are getting back to work and other things are coming, and we've got to do all of these other aspects of life. And now we love the Christmas story. But now Joseph and Mary, as the Bible says in verse 21, they're going after that time to fulfill what God has told all the Israelites that they're supposed to do. So I want you to think about this in the first point, and that is this, that Joseph and Mary, they obeyed the command of God. We see that they went. And it seems like if somebody in all of human history would have an excuse to not follow the rules, it would be this family. If I were writing it and telling them, well, I don't think, since you've literally got the Messiah in your arms, since you've literally got the Creator God, that you probably don't have to follow all the rules that were put on there as the Israelites were supposed to do. I spent years as a children's pastor and trying to help out. We've had hundreds of young people come through the ministry, and we got a chance to help them. I spent some years as a youth pastor as well, but not as many. And it was always amazing when you see parents, and they would come, and those parents would, when you'd have to go deal with them about something that young people had been into, and there was a common reaction, and it was this, not my child. It's amazing how heavenly children get when the parents are talking about them. I've been told before that if you want to really find out what's happening in a home, don't go to mom, don't go to dad, because they know how to spiritualize everything. Just go to the kids, because the kids will tell you the truth about how mom's fighting with dad and dad doesn't like mom and how they're all the time at each other's throat and all of this stuff. Well, when I find myself having to go talk to parents, and I'd say, well, there's some kids that have got involved in something. Well, not my little Beatrice, or not my little Oswald, or not my whoever little name you want to choose, not mine. And the same happened with teenagers. But I always was refreshed when I talked to parents and they said, okay, what'd they do now? And I kind of tried to take that outlook instead. So the girls and Jared, I just figured, well, if something was going on, chances, a good chance, they were involved in whatever wasn't supposed to be going on, and they were involved because of whose dad they have. But it was nice to have a family like that said, well, it's probably mine. But I'm thinking about this family. Again, if all of the families in human history, if anybody would have been exempt from having to follow the rules, I would have thought it would have been this family. But I'm noticing something in human nature. And that is that we all think that we're the exception to whatever rules are out there that people have to follow. You don't think that's true? How about a return line when you go down here to the store and you've got to take something back because you need a medium and they got you a triple extra large or something, whatever it was, that you take that back and you're standing in that long line and somebody says, I only got one item, I'm just going to take it right to the front. Well, that one item is going to take us 35 minutes to get done with. We don't want you skipping line. Get back there like all the rest of us had to. People oftentimes think that they can shortcut or short circuit whatever the process is that everybody's supposed to go through. We all think that we're the exception. You think that's not true? You're trying to get out of traffic and somebody says, I'm just going to take a little dart around here and zip through the parking lot and then get over there, because we all like to be the exception. Well, I would have thought this would have been an exception. But the Bible lays out the plan that Jesus, the mother of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they took the baby. They did all of the things that the law had required. And I want us to learn a great truth today, and that is this, that there's so many things in our lives that we just have to do what comes up to the next item of life that we're supposed to be engaged in. Let's not get into the thinking that, well, everybody else has to follow that order, but not me. The Bible says that Jesus in Matthew said that I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He fulfilled all of those things. I thought about this. My brother and I have a brother that's a year older than me, and my mom dressed us alike until we were old enough to put up a fuss about it. Please, Mom, we're not twins. He's a year older than me. I was always a little taller and bigger than him, and so they often thought we were twins, and we'd wear little matching outfits until, again, we got mad enough. Said, Mom, please, please, please. But so my brother and I, we've got this little detached garage, and so we thought that we ought to be able to take this umbrella that Mom had, get up on that one-story garage, and jump off the roof, and that umbrella would. Well, it did, except it went more. But you're probably not wondering what happened, but what did happen was we went quickly to the ground. Nobody got broken up. Thankfully, no bones were broken. But we quickly learned something on that little outing. That was that we weren't escaping the law of gravity. Whether we had an umbrella or not, we're going to need a whole lot more than just an umbrella. And I'm thinking about this, that we found out that day that nobody escapes those laws that are written down there. And nobody also escapes or gets the opportunity to disobey what God has told us to do. Sometimes we, even as Christian people, we're thinking, well, we're trying to do right and we're trying to step out and do the things that I'm supposed to do. Well, why do I have to go through bad things or whatnot? But I'm just telling us this morning that this couple teaches us that they obeyed the commands of God as God put forth in their life. They were supposed to do them, so they did them. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it so many times that it's very funny. Muhammad Ali was flying on an airplane one time, and the flight attendant came and said, everybody needs to be buckled up. Everybody needs to be buckled up. Then she came to him specifically and said, sir, you need to be buckled up. And he looked up and said, Superman don't need no seat belt. She said, Superman don't need an airplane. Now buckle up. So all of us have to obey the rules. And that's what this couple teaches us. But I think it's a great lesson that I've learned in my life, that we should quit thinking that we're the exception to these things and submit ourselves to what God has put forth in our lives. You would be amazed at the families that you talk to, and somehow they think that the marriage vows and the principles and the precepts are in the Word of God that are put upon all families, that somehow they're exempt from this because of their particular situation. But my friend, I'm just here to tell us that like this family, the one important family, found and shows to us that they were obeying God's command. Not only that, but what happens after Christmas is, in verse number 25, we see the discouraged and they get assured. The Bible says there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He had the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. But look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so not only do the commands get obeyed in verse 21 and 2, but we also see the discouraged get encouraged, or they get assured in what God has told them to do. The Bible says in verse 26, there were things revealed to him of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know how old Simeon was, nor do I know how much time passed from when the Holy Ghost said, you're going to see the Messiah, until the time when he lifted up the baby and said, this is it. I'm thankful for that he lifted him to the sky. But undoubtedly, there was times in those months, or years for that matter, that he doubted. Am I really going to see that? Is that really going to come to pass like the Holy Ghost said it would? I think about this. There will be a time when, as sure as we are about the first coming of Christ, when he came in Bethlehem, there will be a time when we look back with just that much assurance about the second coming of Christ, because that will then be in the past as well. Because as sure as it was written that he was going to come the first time, it's certainly written again that he's going to come the second time in a two-stage process, the rapture, and then as he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. But understand this, that one of these days, if you're a believer in Christ, we'll look back, and with as much assurance as we look back at Bethlehem and say, he came, we're going to look forevermore back and say, he came again. And so I see that the discouraged are assured. And Simeon teaches me a great lesson today. And that is that what God has said is going to come to pass, my friend, mark it down, it will come to pass. I'm sure you've heard the story about this little guy. He was reading his favorite thing, and that was superhero books and comic books and novels. And he's reading one, and the hero of his story that he's engaged in and engulfed by is really looking bad. And the villain is got him real literally by the throat, and he's not sure that he's going to make it. And his young mind is saying, what if he doesn't make it? And his mom calls for him for supper. He ignores it, but she calls again and another time or two. And finally, he realizes, I've got to go or mom's going to come get me. But he quickly looks to the back of that book, and he finds at the back page, the last page of the book, he finds that the hero is riding off in the sunset, and the villain is off somewhere in a maximum prison or wherever he's at. And so he flips back there to the page where the villain has the hero by the throat, and he says, live it up now, Mr. Villain, but the hero is going to succeed, and he's going to excel, and he's going to win, because I've already read the last book, or the last page rather, of the book. And I'm saying thus this morning that we already have read the last page of the book as well, and we understand that even though there are many, many people, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, the Bible says, and still is true, but even though there are many people who are laughing, scorning, and mocking what you're standing for by being here this morning, there is the last page of the last chapter. And I don't even say this with any glee in my heart, but there is that time when every God denier will bow the knee before God. But it will be too late. But my friend, that last page of the last chapter of the book reminds us that we, as the discouraged people, that whatever you've lived through this year and whatever's troubling you, you may be the only person in your family that's standing up for Jesus. I would tell you to keep on standing. And Simeon would have certainly got disappointed and would got disillusioned sometimes, saying, is it really going to happen that I'm going to see the Christ? But he did. The Bible says in Romans that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so, my friend, I say that not in a happy way about all of the things that will happen, but I say that to remind us that God has all of these things settled down. I don't have to ask you, because I know the answer. But if I were to ask you how many of you have thought some things are running awry where they shouldn't be right now, I believe everybody's hand would go up. But my friend, our long-suffering God has not lost track of where everything is at. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is forbearing with us. He is a very kind, loving, gracious God. But there will come a time when all of those things will be made right. And as sure as Simeon picked the Christ child, the Messiah, up and said, here it is, here he is, one of these days we will, that with that assurance, look from heaven's shore and say, the Lord was right all along. I see here that the folks that are discouraged, they're assured. But not only that, look in verse number 36. They didn't take all the time there. You can read verses 31 through 35 and talk about what Simeon pronounced to Joseph and Mary there. But verse number 36, the Bible says there was that Anna. She was a prophetess of the daughter of her family. Then in verse number 37, she was a widow from her virginity, a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now we see this next person, Anna. Something happened on July 16th, 1995, that changed many of the people's in this room's Christmas. There was a person in Bellevue, Washington, that started a business out of his garage with a gift from his father and some collaboration there, got some investors, and he started a company called Kadabra. Later changed the name, but Kadabra was going to deliver books to everybody and wouldn't have to come to the bookstore to get them. He was going to deliver it. They didn't like that name because of some confusion that it had created. And so instead, some months later, they named it Amazon because of the Amazon River and the huge vastness of it. That company that started off in somebody's garage in the last couple years has surpassed the mark of being worth $2 trillion. And a testimony, that's just a secular testimony, but a testimony to somebody's dedication and a person that says, I think this will work. And sure enough, it did work. Well, more important than a bookstore that turned into a everything store that comes to your door, just as a little side note, I took a picture of the Amazon van in our driveway. I told Amy I'm going to use it as our Christmas card next year. Hopefully you got a Christmas card of our kids this year. Next year you might get an Amazon truck in our yard. And because he's there so much, I treat him like family. But that dedicated person that took that idea and made it a worldwide phenomenon. Well, more important than whether you got your packages from Amazon this year or not, Anna, as she's faithfully serving, the Bible says that she served with fastings and prayer night and day. She was dedicated to the task of serving God. That's what she felt like she was supposed to do. She was proven right. Because look in verse, let me find it here, verse number 38. At the end of the verse, look there after it says, likewise unto the Lord. Now next phrase, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So this lady gets to tell everybody that's looking for any hope or any bit of assurance, I saw him. He's the one. They brought him in. For all of the rituals that they're supposed to do, she spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. A missionary friend of mine thought so much of this story that when he and his wife became expecting, they found out they're going to have a daughter, and so they said, we want her to be named Anna because of the faithfulness of this lady here. And I'm thinking of this morning, that Anna teaches this great lesson. Because she was proven right. She served the Lord, fastings, prayers, night and day. She was in there. She had been married, the Bible says, for some 7 years or so, but now has lived a widow for many, many years after that. But she's given her life to serve, given her life for fastings, for prayers, for service there for the Lord's house. Much like some of the people in this room have done. You staked your claim for the Lord Jesus Christ years ago. You grabbed your sweetheart by the arm and said, honey, it's you and me, let's live for Jesus. And one of these days, like Anna was of old, proved to be right you will be proved to be correct, standing for Christ, living for Him. When you tell somebody about the Lord, really that phrase that I gave is really what you do when you stake your claim for the Lord Jesus Christ. You take Him. Some people tell me, say, Brother John, I don't know how to tell somebody how to be saved. I don't know how to tell them to come to the Lord. Well, here's it is in a nutshell. When somebody realizes that we're the sinners, I'm a sinner away from God, and all sin's got to be paid for because God is just and holy. He can't just let some sin that I do, everybody else does, just be swept under the rug. It has to be paid for. And because that happened to be paid for, then you're the one that did the sin, and I'm the one that did the sin. I'm responsible to make that payment. And that's done in an eternal separation from God in a place, horrible place called hell. But that's what Christmas time is all about. Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth to go pay for my sins and for your sins. He not only was born in that manger, He lived a perfect sinless life, went to an old rugged cross and was buried after He's dead, and rose again victoriously after 3 days, so that now I had the chance and you had the chance to someday years ago stake my claim, receive Christ as my Savior. When somebody says, I don't know how to tell somebody how to go to heaven, how to get saved, it's just right, just what I told you. Just right there. Because what they need to do is realize who they are, realize who He is, and then realize He came for me. And then receive Him for the forgiveness of sin. It's not that you need to get religious. It's not that you need to add another feather in your cap of activities because I'm going to go to church on Sundays. But instead, you need to receive Jesus Christ for the full forgiveness of your sin. And when you, many of you in this room, you staked your claim for the Lord Jesus Christ back when you were a teenager, when you were a young person, or maybe you were a young adult, and there have been times in your life when you've looked at other people and you say, I hope I'm right, and I'm being as real as I can be here. You haven't always had that assurance. Oh, I know it. I know it. I mean, we sing blessed assurance, but there's been some times when you haven't had that blessed assurance, but you have enough faith to say, I believe I am. Well, I'm bringing you to Anna. Anna's that one that serves, and she fasts, and she prays, and she does the things that are needed to be done there in the house of the Lord. And she serves and prays and does the things that need to be done in the house of the Lord. She serves and fasts and prays again and again for years until one day she gets to see the Christ child. And then from there on, up until then, she has served and fasted and prayed and done what needed to be done. After that, she continued, I'm sure. But then, from there on, she spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was proven right. And my friend, I'm not preaching this message to you today just so that we can say like a kid, na, 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 I was right, you were wrong. I'm not, I don't have that spirit at all. But I do have the desire this morning to encourage you in your faith. Because this world is trying to beat it out of you. My friend, may you be, as Fanny Crosby wrote that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, just a little bit of a foretaste of glory divine. And I see that this after story, they talk about the after party or the after story, all of these things, the after story of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Joseph and Mary, they obey the Lord's command. And maybe you've been listening this morning and you've got to realize, like I had to realize, that we've got to do some things regardless of who we are. If the family here, the most important family, the Lord Jesus Christ, if the earthly family that He's got is going to follow the commands that He's given, then we should follow the commands as well. We don't get exempt from that. But not only that, Simeon, Anna, teach us that the discouraged, they get assured. And those dedicated people. You know, one thing, I have the blessed privilege of being the pastor here at this church. But do you know that many of the people that have made this church what it is have long since gone on to glory? If you've been here for some time, you can think of some people. They're not still serving here, but their labor is still going on. Because you're sitting in a room that was paid for by many people who have gone on to glory, but their dedication is proven right again and again. many of the folks that have worked in these Sunday school classes and vacation Bible school and neighborhood Bible time and all of the different things, they've gone on to glory, but they've gone on to their reward. Their dedication has been proven right. We, the ones that are here, we're the only ones that sometimes wonder, is all of this worth it? Because they've already made that decision and they've already come to that conclusion. You better believe it was worth it. And so this morning, may I encourage you with Simeon, Anna, and Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, they continued in obedience. Are you? Are we obeying what the Lord has for us to do? Simeon, the discouraged one, the one that wondered whether or not that saying is going to come to pass, he was assured. And then Anna, that faithful lady, she was right. God showed up in her life, and I believe that God will show up in your life when you keep on being faithful. You may be the only person in your family that's standing for Jesus. There may not be one person that you know of that does, or you may be like mine, you have many. Whichever the case is, I challenge you this morning to keep on serving, keep on looking, keep on by faith, marching toward what God wants you to do. Because one of these days, as I already mentioned, one of these days, as we look back at the first coming when Jesus came in Bethlehem, and we say, oh, I know that happened. It was a historical fact, but there's also a spiritual fact for me as well. I'm assured of it. But there is coming a day, one of these days, when we'll be in glory, and we'll look back at the second coming. We'll look back at when Jesus came the second time with as much assurance as we now look back at the first coming. I believe it's going to happen just like the first one did. And my friend, at that day, you will not regret standing solid for the Lord in your life. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. And Lord, one last Christmas message, I guess, of how these people were great lessons that we get to learn from. And Lord, we get to think about the truths of these things. I pray that you'd melt them into our heart. And dear Lord, I pray that we would certainly put them into practice. My friend, here's my invitation to you. If you're here this morning, you know you're saved. You know the Lord Jesus is your Savior. Oh, friend, take heart. You're on the right path. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Many, many people are denying Him and scoffing and laughing at you, but take heart, my friend. Continue on. Don't be discouraged. And then secondly, maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. Not sure that you're on your way to heaven. My friend, that Jesus that I just told you about, He came that first time. He will come again. You need to be ready. Need to receive Him as your Savior personally in your life for the forgiveness of your sins. Otherwise, your sins are still on your account. Oh, my friend, what a horrible end that will be. Please make sure you're saved. I believe the hymn we're going to sing is "Just As I Am." Without one plea, as they get ready to play that, when you hear them play, if you're able to, would you stand together? Brother Nathan's going to come lead us in that. And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. If you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, encourage yourself. If you need to come and receive Christ as Savior, I'll be down here at the front. I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that.
You obey the Lord as we sing. Just as I am without one plea, but at Thy blood was shed for me, and at Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb.
thank you for being here. And may each of you take courage in standing for the Lord as these Bible characters did, knowing that He will come through. I invite you back tonight. Brother Levi Mullins will be preaching, and Brother Nick and Elizabeth will be singing for us. It'll be a great time. I think Angie and Bella Martin will be singing as well. It's going to be a great night of music. We'll have some good singing. And then this Wednesday will be the Lord's Supper. We'll observe that. If you know one of our shut-ins and you can help out with them, Brother Larry Russell can help you with that to get him ready for Wednesday if you want to meet him. But we want to say thank you, and as we get ready for this new year, may we stretch out and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll trust Him that He will bless us and we'll stay faithful to Him. I'm going to ask Brother Josh, if you don't mind, to come and dismiss us in prayer. Amy and I will meet you back in the lobby. If there's anything that our family can do for you, then we'll certainly be back there and be glad to. But then after he prays, you may be dismissed.
Wow. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, everything you've done for us, God. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your house today, God. Thank you for the message and the messenger, Lord. Lord, I pray you be with each and every family here today. Bless the gatherings that continue to go on for the holidays today, Lord. I pray you would bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.